All right, so to start off with, I have a little bit of an illustration. So if I can get my two helpers to come help me. All right, so we have David and Jeff, my two helpers this morning. So you guys want to come right over here to the middle. The story that we're going to be studying this morning is in Mark chapter number 10, and it is the story of the rich young ruler. And in this account, the rich young ruler has a choice to make. And these two gentlemen are going to help me make those choices this morning. The story of the rich young ruler. He had two choices. He could either keep all his wealth and do what he wanted to do and reject God, or he could forsake all of his wealth and, as the Bible says, take up his cross and follow him. David decided, when he was posed with the question, he was going to take his riches. Go ahead, open it up, see what's in there. See, he's all excited. Riches. So we got all sorts of goodies. We got, you know, good stuff, rubber bands, all sorts of treasures in here that anybody would want. And David chose to keep all of this and not give it up. Jeff, on the other hand, decided to follow Jesus, to get rid of all the treasures and the wealth that he has and come and take up his cross and follow him. Now, it's not quite that simple. Because along with taking up your cross, you have to deny yourself. You have to follow Jesus through thick and thin. There's going to be trials. Here are your trials, Jeff. It's a bag of salt. The Bible says we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, so... So he has to take all these burdens and go through all these trials and follow God, but in the end, he will be rewarded beyond all that he can imagine. David, he gets all his reward now, but in the end, it will all come to naught. It's heavy, isn't it? All right, thank you. You guys can have a seat. I'll have to have you come back up in just a little bit so we can finish the illustration. But the rich young ruler had a choice to make. When he asked Jesus, you know, what must I do to inherit life? And Jesus eventually says, well, you have to sell all your wealth, give it to the poor, and come take up your cross and follow me. That was the choice that the rich young ruler had to make. So I will pose you that same question at the end. Which way will you go? Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for the beautiful day outside, Lord, and for this opportunity to preach. I pray you just help me to be clear and concise, Lord, and to just preach your word and what you've laid on my heart. Just be with us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said, the story of the rich young ruler is found in Mark chapter number 10. So if you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter number 10. And it picks up in verse 17. Chapter number 10 and verse 17. Verse 17 says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So this story starts out. Jesus is on his way out of town, and this young man comes running up to him, and he catches him, and he falls down at his feet, and he says, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus turns and sees the man, and instead of just answering his question, he must first address how the young man addressed him. Good master. And Jesus says, Why callest thou me good? In verse 18, there is none good but one, that is God. And it always puzzled me. I was like, what does Jesus mean when he says this? You know, is the way that the young man addressed him improper, or you know, what's going on? And I looked it up. And the word good there in the Greek means to be inherent, or what is that word? Intrinsically good. How many of you guys know what intrinsically means? Yeah, I didn't either, so I had to look it up. And it means inward, eternal, genuine, inherent, or natural. It's like when you say you could say the intrinsic value of gold and silver, or even diamonds for that matter, that they always keep their value and they always very precious, precious metal, precious stones. They have intrinsic value. It means it's built into them. They naturally come that way. And it's saying here, the word good used here means that this person is naturally, inherently, they were born good. Well, there is only one person who is inherently or naturally good, and that is God himself. Amen. And so Jesus says, Why callest thou me good? For there is, what exactly did he say? There is none good but one, that is God. And since we know that Jesus is God, you look in John 1, verses 1 and 2, and then later on 14, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then Jesus later on goes to say in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. So if there's only one that is naturally, intrinsically good, and that is God, and Jesus says, I and my Father are one, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus is God in the flesh. So Jesus is intrinsically good.
Amen.
And so I think what he's trying to say here is just a subtle way of saying, you know, I am God in the flesh. He says, good masters, that there are only one person who is good, and that is God, who I am. And then he goes on to address the young man's question. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers him according to the law given in Exodus to Moses on Mount Sinai. And he quotes the last six of the Ten Commandments. And he says, Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. Now it's interesting to see why Jesus chose to answer him this way, because he could have, you know, well, I'll get to that point in just a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. The Hebrew and Israel children were taught the law from a very young age, and they taught the Ten Commandments. So Jesus knew and assumed that he knew what the Ten Commandments were. All the Israel children should have known the Ten Commandments. So he quotes in the last six of the Ten Commandments and says, this is what you have to do to inherit eternal life. Now, it's interesting to note that it is impossible to keep the law. Every person who ever lived has broken at least one of the Ten Commandments. I could name them all off, and you could say, oh, yeah, I've done that one. And so it's interesting to see what the young man says in response to the answer that Jesus gave him. He says, all these have I kept from my youth. He says, all those commandments, I've done them from my youth. And I really believe that he believed that he had kept the Ten Commandments. That he had done enough to say that he had kept the Ten Commandments. And he tried his whole life to follow the law and do it as best he could so that he could inherit eternal life when he died. And yet he still felt that he was lacking one thing. And you read over in Matthew, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 20, he says, what lack I yet? You know, what more can I do? And Jesus answers him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Jesus could have turned to the young man and named every single instance where he had broken the law, where he had broken one of the Ten Commandments, and really let the young man have it for his self-righteousness and saying, no, you haven't done all these. But he chose not to do that. You can read what he says, and then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Jesus told him to do something. Instead of naming every single instance where he'd done wrong, he told him to go and do something that he knew would have required that young man to follow and the one specific area that he had not kept the commandments. To sell all of his possessions and take up the cross and follow him. One of the commentators that I read said that by doing this, he would have had to fulfill one of the commandments, love thy neighbor. And then by taking up his cross and following him, he would have had to put his whole faith and trust in God. And that was something that the rich young ruler wasn't willing to do. The Bible says that he went away sad and grieved. Sad means he was somber, or grieved means he was beset, he was distressed, sorrowful, or heavy. Because the one thing that Jesus asked him to do, he felt that he could not do it. He was not willing to give up all of his treasure and possessions to follow God. Now, that wasn't the answer that he was probably expecting. He may have thought that, you know, because he was so wealthy, it may be something that he could do, or some good deed, something that he could buy, or some other thing, but not give up all of his wealth. Something he wasn't and couldn't do. His wealth was his God. His wealth is what he served. He had put his wealth ahead of serving God, and that is why he could not give it up. Dwight Pentecost said, "One's God is what he serves. And this man loved and served his wealth. His wealth thus stood in the way of his coming to follow Christ." And it's not really his wealth that was the problem. Yes, he valued his wealth above everything and he couldn't do it, but it was more of a heart problem that he wasn't willing to give it up. Blomberg said, obviously there are many different ways to be good stewards of the material possessions God gives us. However, if wealth ever stands in the way of our wholehearted allegiance to Christ, then we must divest or strip ourselves of it. His wealth was the one thing that got in the way of him following God, and Jesus knew it. Jesus knew that if that young man could get rid of all of his wealth, the thing that he treasured most, and forsake it and take up the cross and follow Jesus, that if he could do that and put his whole faith and trust in Jesus, then God would be put first in his life. And then he could inherit eternal life, or inherit treasure, as he says. Now, just the fact that he says that he might inherit it is probably a fact that he had a wrong view of what he must do. And that he didn't put his trust and faith in Jesus, but that there is something that he could do. And the one thing he wasn't willing to do was to sell all of his possessions and turn and follow God. Now, wealth isn't the only thing that you would have to give up. If every single one of us were like the rich young ruler and we went up to Jesus and asked the same question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? It's possible that every single one of us, Jesus would give a different answer to. Because not all of us value our wealth more than anything else. Some, it may be a job which you get wealth from, or family, or fear of the unknown, or something else. And my life growing up, it was soccer. That's what I loved to do growing up. And I thought that I could serve God and play soccer at the same time. All the colleges that I went to look at when I graduated from high school were good colleges, but in the back of my mind, I knew that I could play soccer. And I wasn't totally giving it up. And it wasn't until I totally said, "Okay, Lord, you can have it." And I turned towards him. That is when he started to bless me. And I went to a college that didn't have soccer. I gave it up for a long time. And I met my beautiful wife there. I learned how to teach and preach God's word so that I could serve him. And I came back here. And the Lord blessed me. Now I get to coach it. That young man's wealth was not worth turning his back on God and forsaking God. Yes, for the time being, just like David when he's up here, is looking through and is like, "Oh, I can play with this, I can eat this." That's fun for now. But if he eats too much of that candy stuff, he gets sick. But he can't take that to the grave. He can't buy his way to heaven. There's nothing he can do, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Amen. There's nothing that that young man could have bought, purchased, done to inherit eternal life. For one reason, to inherit something, you must be a child. To inherit something from your parents, you must be their child. And then when they pass away, you get your inheritance. And in order to do that, you have to be a child of God to inherit eternal life. So he had a choice to make. He could forsake the one thing that he loved the most, more than anything in the world, and follow God. Or he could turn his back on God and said, oh, I don't know that I can do that. I don't know that I can give that up just yet. You know, I worked so hard for this, or I came into this, and I don't think I can do it. The Bible says that he went away sad and grieved. We don't hear anything else about the rich young ruler. We don't know that if once eventually he turned and followed God. I suspect that he didn't. And if that's the case, then his wealth cost him eternity with God. And he got eternity in hell. All he had to do was to take up, to forsake all and sell it all and give it to the poor, just get rid of it, and come and take up the cross and follow God. Anybody had blessings more than he could comprehend? There may have been struggles along the way and trials, just like the bag of salt. But in the end, he would have spent eternity with God in heaven. Now, Jeff and David, can I have you come back up for just a second here? Brother Bill, would you come help me? David chose his wealth. Jeff chose to take up the cross and to follow God. Now, it could be possible that God could have got a hold of his life just like God did to Nebuchadnezzar. We learned about in Sunday school this morning how Nebuchadnezzar had all of his treasure, he had all of Babylon, he was the king in control of the greatest empire in the world, and yet didn't recognize God as the all-powerful God, and didn't give him the praise and honor and glory for it. And because of that, God took away his kingdom and his treasure. And it wasn't until Nebuchadnezzar humbled himself and recognized God and gave God the praise and honor and glory that it was all given back to him. And he gave praise and honor and glory to God. That could happen, I don't know, but if not, this just cost David his life. Like it did Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son. But we have Jeff, on the other hand, who chose to pick up the cross and all that comes with it and follow God. Brother Bill is Jesus this morning. When you take up the cross and follow God, God will always provide for you, always take care of you. The Bible says that he will even carry your burdens for you. Brother Bill, would you take Jeff's burdens for him, lightening Jeff's load so that all he can do is he can focus now on just following God. Because he knows that God will take care of him. That through every situation, if it's something that's too big for him, God will take care of it. Amen. Jesus will come and pick him up and take him right through it, give him the strength to get through it, and all we have to do is turn and pick up the cross and follow him. Amen. Thank you. You guys can have a seat. If you want to know just exactly all the blessings that come with picking up your cross and following Him and forsaking all, you'll have to come back tonight, because that's what the message on tonight is, the rest of this passage. But let me give you a little tidbit. Verse number 29 says, "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and for the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold. Now in the time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." If that rich young ruler would have forsaken his own treasure and his own wealth and his own possessions and turned and picked up the cross and followed God, he would have had more treasure and more blessings than he could have ever attained in his earthly life. It says, you know, hundredfold of brothers and sisters and mothers and children. He's not saying that you're going to have a ton of sisters or a ton of children, a ton of brothers. He's just emphasizing that if you give up all and follow me, I will bless you more than you can ever imagine. So what is it in your life today? What is hindering you from forsaking all and following God? What would God tell you to do? Would it be to quit your job and follow me? Or quit watching television and follow me? Or quit, you name it, and follow me? What would it be? What have you put first in your life and are you serving that stops you from serving God? Maybe it's pride, selfishness, material possessions, entertainment, and the lifestyle that you are living you don't want to give up. Fear of the unknown of what could happen. You're not able to trust God because it wouldn't be in your control any longer. What is it? Yes, if you forsake all and follow Jesus, you will have to swallow your pride and learn to put others first and not yourself. But what is that compared to eternity in heaven? Or maybe it's, you won't be able to do the things that you used to do, the parties you used to go to, the worldly things. But let me tell you, you can have fun in the will of God. Come to our banquets, our fellowships. Get a group of Christians together and have a good time. I love to have fun. Whatever it is not worth spending eternity in hell to forsake God and not follow Him. Whatever it is, you can't take it to the grave. Don't let anything get in the way of you serving God. Amen. God should not take a back seat to anything. Amen. You have to forsake all and follow God. The Bible says that if you do, He tells the rich young ruler, if he would have done that, he would have treasure in heaven. You'll be blessed beyond you can imagine. And all you have to do is turn and follow God. And once you follow God and you become a child of His, then you can inherit eternal life. And you spend eternity in Him, eternity in heaven with Him. And you think, man, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can give it up. It's not worth it. It's not worth keeping it. If you forsake all and you trust God, you may not have, as I said earlier, you may not have the nicest car, the nicest clothes, the most comfortable living situation, but you will be taken care of. And all your needs will be met. Your blessings may not come in material possessions. They may come in spiritual possessions. And you will have joy unspeakable and full of glory over here rather than struggles. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. All you have to do is follow God. Yes, there's going to be trials and temptations, just like we have our bag of salt here. It's not going to be the easiest, but God will get you through it. As I said in Sunday school, you can just look around, look at the mountains and the trees and the sky and the sun and the clouds, and at nighttime, look up at the stars. God created all of this. The Bible says that, and He made the stars also, just like an afterthought, those countless number of stars that we can't even find the outer edges of it. They were like an afterthought because He's that big of a God. If He can do that, He can take care of your troubles and get you through any type of situation.
That's right.
And all you got to do is just forsake that and follow God. If you're saved here today, put away whatever is hindering you from following God and just trust Him and let Him get you through. Or if you're not saved, you never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and save you, then you're still over here trying to get there on your own power. It's impossible. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you want to go by the law, the Bible says in Romans that there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you've sinned, if you've broken the law, you cannot go to heaven. Because sin is not allowed in heaven. And so you are down here, doomed to spend eternity in hell. But that same God that wants you to forsake all and follow Him loves you so much, just like Jesus loved that rich young ruler and didn't tell him everything that he'd done wrong, but loved him and told him what he should do.
Amen.
God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. That Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, and fulfilled the law, and died on the cross to pay the price for your sins. For the wages of sin is death. What we get for our sin, for breaking the law, is death. We cannot pay our way out. The only way we can pay our sin is to die. And when we die, we spend eternity in hell. But Jesus paid that price for us.
Amen.
The rest of the verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All we have to do is put our faith and trust in Him. Realize that we are a sinner, that we have broken the law. We have sinned. We have trespassed. We have gone against God's word. And if we repent of our sins, ask Him to forgive us of our sins, and believe that He died on the cross for our sins, that He is the only way to heaven, not of works, lest any man should boast, and ask Him to come into our heart and forgive us of our sin, He will. Paul says that, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. Amen.
Whosoever. It doesn't matter how big this is, how many times you've broken the law, what kind of a person you are, if you are a murderer, or you've done everything you could, like the rich young ruler, to do everything you could to get to heaven, doesn't matter. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is forsake this world, turn from it, and follow God and ask Him to come into your heart, forgive your sins, and He will. And once you've done that, take up his cross and follow him. Put your whole faith and trust in him, and he will take care of everything. He will bless you beyond you can possibly imagine. When I got saved at a very young age, I didn't exactly live as I was supposed to growing up. I wasn't a bad kid. But I knew I was going to go to a Christian college when I grew up, and it wasn't until I forsook that idol in my life, that wealth in my life, and turned to follow Jesus, it wasn't until then that he really started to bless me. I can't even imagine that I would be standing before you today. This is coming from a kid who couldn't even give an English report in high school and would rather die than stand up in front of somebody and talk. And he's given me the strength to do that. If you just follow him, pick up the cross and follow him, he will bless you. He won't show everything to you at one time. You'll be overwhelmed and you won't know what to do, but he gives you one step at a time and just shows you enough to just follow him. Yes. Just keep trusting him.
Yes.
All you have to do is forsake that and follow him. So what is that in your life? If you were to go up to Jesus and ask, what shall I do to inherit in life? What would he say to you? What do you put first in your life? Whatever it is, forsake it. Get rid of it. Sell it. Give it to the poor. It's not worth it. And pick up the cross and follow him. And he will bless you beyond you can possibly imagine. You can get that right today. We'll have an opportunity in a moment. You can come forward. Ask Jesus to forgive you putting something else first. And ask him to give you the strength to follow him. And he will. He will not give you anything that you cannot bear.
Amen.
And trust him and follow him. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Come into your heart and save you if you've never done so. And trust him. And follow him. Take up the cross and follow him, unlike the rich young ruler. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for speaking to my heart, Lord. For being so good, for loving us so much that you provided a way that we wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell, Lord, if we just trust you and follow you, and that when we do, you would bless us beyond measure. I pray that if there's anybody here who's not asked Jesus to come into their heart and save them, that you would today, Lord, they would get that right and walk forward, and we'd be glad to show them in your word how they can know 100% sure that if they die, they'd go to heaven. I pray just be with the invitation at this time, Lord, just give us a good rest of the day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have an invitation at this time, if you would. Take your Bible and turn to page number 394. I Surrender All. And as Angela plays, if there's something in your life that you put in front of God, you can come forward and get that right tonight, this morning. Or if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you, I'd be glad to take my Bible and show you this morning. But whatever it is, get rid of it and follow God.
Jesus, I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence.
Lord spoke in your heart this morning.
I surrender.
You can step out and come and pray.
If
you've not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this be a good time to come and trust the Lord. Been a very simple message. Been a pointed message on what we need to do to be saved. So many times, sadly to say, people forsake the Lord for things that do not sustain life, do not give eternal life, do not help or bless in any way. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes just for a moment as the piano continues to play. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can look back to a time in your life where you trusted Him. Could you acknowledge that just by the uplifted hand and say, Pastor, I know Jesus is my Savior. I've been born again. I've trusted Christ. Anyone like that this morning? Thank you so much. You may put the hands down. Now, those of you that could not raise your hand, may I just say this to you? There's a reason that you are honest with the Lord. And being honest with the Lord, who already knows where you stand, and not being saved, there's no hope of a place called heaven for you when you die. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for all of your sin. Why not trust Him this morning? Ask Him to forgive you, ask Him to save you, and ask Him to become your Lord and Savior. It's very simple. Sometimes we just need to step out and come and say, Pastor, I'd like to be saved this morning. You don't have to understand it all. You don't have to know the Bible inside and out. You just need to know deep down in your heart that you're not saved, that you're not really a Christian, that you've not trusted Christ wholly for your salvation. We're going to sing another couple of stanzas this morning. If you'd like to be saved this morning, walk out of this building knowing that heaven is yours, knowing that every sin you've ever committed has been forgiven. Now's an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. So as we sing another couple of stanzas, Brother Charles and Angie, let's finish out our invitation this morning. This is for you. This is your time to do business with the Lord. Just step out and come. Don't be bashful. Maybe somebody will come with you. Don't be bashful this morning, folks. You're not saved. Be saved today. Most important thing you'll ever do in your life is trust Jesus Christ. Anybody else would like to trust the Lord as their Savior this morning? Now's the time to do it. Don't put it off. Most important thing you'll ever do in your life is to receive Christ as your Savior. ask you to be seated just for a moment. As this lady's being dealt with this morning, I'd just like to say this before we're dismissed. You know, there's a lot of people here this morning that are not members of this church, and that's all right. The Lord has a way of guiding and directing us to where He'd like us to serve. But I would just like to remind you that if the Lord's been dealing with your heart about uniting with a church, and maybe this is the church that He's been speaking to your heart about, now's the time to do that before it's, well, I want to say before we waste a lot of time in life. Church is so important. You know, we had a funeral here a couple of weeks back, and it's awful nice to have a man that passed away and went to be with the Lord to be a good church member. Because church is a blessing to you and your home and your family. It's a blessing to you. We all need a church home where we can look to support. We can look for help. We can look for a place where we can hang our hat and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be a member of a church. Amen. It's a wonderful thing because that's the place that you can go of a Sunday morning, get refreshed, get insight, get dealt with by the Lord, have His word speak to your heart and bless you in such a tremendous way. You become part of something. You become part of something. You know, there's so many people that are looking for citizenship in America today, and so many actual Americans that are born here don't look at it as anything precious. Some of the people that come into this country looking for citizenship become the best Americans we've ever had because they relish what they have here. Far greater sometimes than those that are actually born here. And I think many times that when we become a member of a church, it just enhances life so much, and it just makes life real, and it gives substance to life. It gives reality to things. And you know, it's a place where you can raise your kids. It's a place where your kids can learn the Bible and grow in Christ. So if you've been thinking and contemplating this, I want you to think heavy on it. I may be visiting with you in another few weeks because our Lord's Supper is coming up soon. That's for church members. Easter's coming up. What a great time to unite with the church, be able to partake of the Lord's table. Easter be mean more to you than any other time in your life. I'll be coming to your home pretty soon, talking to you. So I want you to think about it and pray about it. And when I come and ask you about it, give me a good answer. But I want you to pray about it. I want you to just talk to the Lord. You talk to your family because it's so, so important. Now I want to ask this.
This is my sister Christy.
This is your sister Christy. All right. Well, I see your sister Julie out there. I'll come over. Christy, stand up here. Now, did Travis, you bring Christy to the side? You take her back and sit down. Yeah, this is good. This thing here is a killer. I don't know why that thing is there. Why is that thing, that cord there? You almost killed your preacher. You know, you did a good job, Brother Charles. Thank you very much. You come back tonight and he'll finish up the story. Amen. Come back tonight. Let's all stand. Good to have you here. Good to have the visitors here. Rusty and Vonnie, good to have you. Bring your son-in-law. First time I've ever met your son-in-law. Heard a lot about him all the time. They're talking about you, David. And I'm glad to see you in church this morning. Good to have you here. Good to meet you. And Rusty, get your granddaughter here too. Is he a good grandpa? Pretty good grandpa? All right. Good to have you here this morning. All right. Father, we thank you so much for this morning, Lord. Thank you so much for the message. Thank you so much for that story in the Bible, Lord, about Jesus and the rich man. We can learn so much from it. Help us to grow in the Lord. Help us to learn more about the Bible. Help us to be friendly. Help us to be good Christian people and a good testimony in our city. Help us to live right that we might draw people to the cross. Bless now. Thank you for Christy being saved, Lord. Just ask you to bless her life now. Guide and direct her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.